hand clap. Like a one-handed paper hanger right there. A one-handed drummer. Yeah. Yes. Y'all ready for Christmas? Loving it? Yeah. Hey, a couple announcements real quick. We are having Stratagos, which is a security company, come in and do some security training on Saturday, January 25th. If anybody is interested, the deadline for the discount is, I think it's Thursday, whatever the 11th is, December 11th. Do we have one person's name on the sheet or one person? So we need four people. We have other people that sign up, but we need another group of four. Like if another group of four signs up, then you only pay for three. And you also get a 10% discount as well, so it's a little cheaper if you're interested in that. Or if you know anybody that's interested, anybody that has a ministry or another church or whatever. So that's January 25th, and it's all day Saturday, 8 to 3. Also, if you have had a change of contact information, specifically cell phone really is the most important, but any contact information, your address, email, but cell phone specifically, because we have the possibility of inclement weather coming up with winter upon us, and we want to be able to contact you to let you know if we have canceled or not. So if you have some updated contact information, please see Cherie for that. Could you turn to the Gospel of John? Gospel of John. John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Everybody doing well? You doing good? Anybody sick this evening? Anybody sick, not feeling well? Everybody's good except somebody back there? And one hand? One hand? Anybody need prayer for anything? Bruce? Cold? Let's pray for those. And Laura, you have something? Can we just take, let's just take a few minutes and go to those. Is Lee, did you need prayer? Nathaniel was pointing to you. Lee, and then Bruce, and Brenda, and Lori, can we take a few minutes and pray for them? Can you just go to them and lay hands on them? If you're close to them, just pray over them. I don't want anybody sick while I'm speaking. See, get everybody well. Don't forget Bruce back there in the corner. Thank you, guys. Thank you very much. Amen. All right, back to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1. For the next few weeks, and we're in the season of the celebration of the birth of Christ, Christmas, this is a good time just to kind of refocus a little bit. And I felt like maybe for just the, we'll go longer, but at least for the next 3 weeks. And I've got Dale and Brenda are going to, within that time frame, share a little bit too. And just focus on Jesus. Just talk about Jesus. Focus on Him. It's all about Him and a relationship with Him. Right? Amen? Amen? And there's so many other things. There's good things in the Word. There's good things we need to know and to learn. And lots of things are going on in this world and our country. But this is a good time to just do a little reset, refocus on some basic principle things of just Jesus. Amen? Amen. Matthew 6:33. Does anybody know what that says?
Yes.
Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and these things will be added to you. What were the things? You guys must read a different translation. I don't know. All the blessings. So what's the things? What are they? What? Name me some things. Health, wisdom, life. Now specifically when Jesus said this, He mentioned food and clothing. But those are things for our natural body. That was within context. All these things that He was talking about that we need will be supplied to us. You need money? You need clothes? You need food? You can say yes, it's okay. Because we need those things, right? God has created us for the need of these things plus many other needs. But Matthew 6:33 says what? If we do what first? If we would seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, He will add these things to us. Do we really believe that? Are you sure? There's really nothing more important in our lives than developing a relationship, intimacy and fellowship with the King of Kings, the Lord of all lords, the God of heaven and earth. For that's what He's created us for. Everything flows from that. In 2 Peter it said, we have been given everything we need for life and for godliness. And it comes through that channel, those things come through the true knowledge of Christ Jesus. Through our intimacy, through our time, that relationship with Him. Not just quiet time in the morning, but learning to be with Him all through the day. Everything that we do. Learning to turn our inner conversations. Every one of us talks to ourselves, and it's not crazy to talk to yourself, because that's what we do. We think and we talk to ourselves. We reason things. Sometimes at work, we're trying to figure things out, or we're going through our mind thinking about the things we need to do in a day. We're always talking to ourselves all day long. Just turn those thoughts to the Lord. Have a conversation with Him. That takes discipline to do that. It takes intentionality, to be intentional about doing these things. But that's really what our life is all about. Because the most powerful thing we can have in this life is Him. And a relationship, intimacy, fellowship, koinonia, union with Him. He is Emmanuel. And Emmanuel means what? God with us. And the new birth caused God to be in us. Christ in us, the hope of glory. So God is with us. And those who are born again, He's in us. So He's in us and with us. It doesn't get any better than that. God's in us and with us. Sometimes we get busy in our day and we just are unaware of it. Right? We kind of forget about it sometimes, and we're we get busy and we're doing things and we just lay it down. We just forget. Look in John 1. John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 1. And in just the few minutes that we have this evening, I just want to speak out of the first 18 verses. And it'll be short, because there's so much here. It's not going to do it justice, but let's begin. Verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Let me just start over. Let's just start over. In the beginning of what? Beginning of time? Beginning of creation? Let me put it this way. In eternity was the Word. Because there was no beginning, really, as far as we understand it in time. Because the Word was always and will always be. He was before creation. All the material world, the things that we see. This phrase, in the beginning was the Word, is the same way it's worded in Genesis, in the beginning. How did everything that came into being, how did it come into being? God spoke it. His Word. So in the beginning was the Word. This word for Word is the Greek word logos. Logos means statement, message. It's God's Word, however it comes. It can come written and it can come spoken. So logos includes the written and spoken word, because before this word, this scripture was written, it had to be spoken or communicated, and then it became written. So it's God's word, it's his logos, it's his statement. And then you also have specifically rhema, which is the spoken word, and you have graphe, which is the written word, but logos, this word right here is logos, it is God's word. So in the very beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. In the beginning. We can't really, in our minds, fathom all of eternity, the span outside of time. Because we're locked within time. But God is not locked in time. He's above time, outside of time. Created time. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He, notice in verse 2 how it changes, because now he puts a pronoun, he. It's not just the Word is now he. He was in the beginning with God, so he, the Word, was in the beginning with God. In case we didn't get it in the first verse, he was in the beginning. He always was and always will be. What will always be and always is? The Word. I think we're getting it. He was in the beginning with God. All things, verse 3, came into being through him. Through him who? The Word. You're going to get real excited and happy here in just a second, and just jump and run, and don't knock anybody down when you do it. Just be kind, loving. All things. How many things came into being? All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. We could probably stay right there several weeks just in that paragraph. And here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask you to do it at home. Get into this section right here, the first 18 verses that we talk about. Meditate. Ask the Lord, what are you speaking to me? Verse 6, there came a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify about the light so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. Verse 9, there was the true light which coming into the world enlightens every man. He was in the world and the world was made through him. In case we didn't get it a few verses before. And the world did not know him. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. That's got to be one of the saddest verses in the New Testament. And I think about it today, that he's coming to his own. And how many will reject him? Who him? Who him? The Word. The Word. Have you noticed yet that I'm really trying to highlight the Word? The Word. One of the things, even within Christianity, is being devalued, lowered, overlooked, skewed, perverted, twisted, the Word. Verse 11 again, he came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave a right. You have a right to what? To become children of God. Even to those who believe in his name, or faith, not just believe he exists, or believe his name is Jesus, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word became flesh, dwelt among us, and the Word is full of what? Grace and truth. I'm not going to get through this. Verse 15. John testified about him and cried out, saying, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me has a higher rank than I, for he existed before me. For of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, and here's grace and truth. Notice how many times he repeats things, just in these 18 verses. Grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father, he has explained him. He, Jesus, he, the Word, has explained the Father. Is this just an amazing passage of just Scripture right here? I feel like I'm taking too much on tonight. It's just, that's just a massive amount. Oh my goodness. The Word. The Logos of God, the statement, His message, God's message. It can be written, communicated, or spoken, but it's from God. It's God's Word. His Word, in the beginning, verse 1 again. In the beginning, the very, very beginning, which where there was no beginning as far as time's concerned, because it's eternity, He always was and always will be. But notice the highlight. The Word. How important is the Word? The Word isn't just words. It's God's Word. It's Christ. Jesus is the Word, became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word. His Word was before creation existed. His Word was before Satan was Satan. In the beginning was the Word. His Word was and always will be, and it was before you and I. His Word was before any sickness, any disease, any sin, any evil. His Word was over and above all. And it was through Him, the Word, that He created. His Word is so powerful, it can destroy and it can build up. It can create something out of absolutely nothing. Have you ever heard of the joke about the atheist and God had a contest? Have you heard about this one? I've mentioned it before. It's an old joke. You've probably heard it. Where the atheist said, God, we don't need you. Now, the atheist to have a conversation with God like this is just... you'd have to admit God exists. But we don't really need you. We can create. We are so smart. We can create anything with our own power, with our own will. And God says, oh, you can you? You can create. You don't need me to create something. He says, oh, yeah, we can create anything. So God says, okay, meet me at such and such a place tomorrow at noon. So they both show up. And God tells the atheist, or asks him, he says, are you ready? Are you ready to create something for me so I can see that you can create? He goes, oh yeah, I'm ready. He goes, okay, start. So the atheist bends down, he scoops up some dirt, and God says, oh no, 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 no. Get your own dirt. You see, man has to have something to create something. Man can't create something out of nothing. But God can. Wait a minute now. You ready to run? His Word can. See, man needs a liver to help heal your liver. Or give you a liver transplant. God doesn't. Because He can create something out of absolutely nothing. He created matter from nothing. But only His spoken Word. That's how powerful the Word is. And we have so devalued His Word. That's why it's so important to know what His Word says and to know His and recognize His voice. Because one word, one syllable, one letter from God can change your life. Can open the blind man's eyes. The deaf man's ears. No lie can stand before the truth, the Word. No perversion, no seducing spirit. We talked about Jezebel the last 3 weeks. The Jezebel spirit has no answer for the Word. No demonic spirit has an answer for the Word. Are we grasping this yet? On how powerful the Word is. How desperately we need the Word. How it was the spoken Word that brought everything, including us, into existence. Think about how complex the human body is. Animals and the created. We worry about so many things. And one word, one powerful word from God, can change our life. In the beginning was the Word. The Word always was, always will be. His Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The equality of God and the Word together. That speaks of that union, that communion, that intimacy, that even Jesus prayed in John 17 that we would have the same type of intimacy and union that He and the Father has, the Word and the Father, that we and the Word and the Father would have the same type of relationship, not in heaven only, but now. Here and now. He was in, verse 2, was in the beginning with God. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. You cannot separate God from His Word. You can separate man from His Word because we make mistakes. Sometimes we don't say the right things. We don't say what we mean, or we don't mean what we say, or we do all kinds of things. And you can separate a man from His Word, but you can't separate God from His Word. He means what He says, and He says what He means. The Word is how God communicates. He expresses His will, His thoughts, and His heart. Now notice this, not just in words, although He does that, but through the Word. Jesus came, and Hebrews chapter 1 says, that Jesus is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of His nature. Jesus, the Word. The Word is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of God's nature. Jesus said to Philip and His disciples, "If you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. If you've seen the Word," because Jesus is the Word, "you've seen the Father." How important is the Word? How valuable is the Word? We need the Word more than we need food. Yes. We need the Word more than we need clothing, money, drink. We need the Word. Jesus was how God communicated. Matter of fact, I think it's in the same chapter of Hebrews. It says, in many ways, a variety of ways, God spoke long ago. But in these last days, He speaks how? Through His Son. He speaks through His Word. Are we feeding on His Word? I'm not just talking about reading Scripture. I'm talking about feeding and meditating on His Word as our daily bread. Getting it on the inside of us. Knowing it. Becoming one with... Because the Word is not words on the page. It's not what the Scripture says. The Scripture says the Word is Christ. Christ is the Word. Okay, let's move on down. Verse 4. In Him was life. That word life is the word Zoe. Who could tell me what Zoe life is? It's a God's kind of life. It is the very existence, the very nature and character of life that God has. That same life. The same life Jesus said in John 10:10 that He came to give us. That kind of life. In Him is life. I mean, how many of us need life? Not just biological existence. We already have that. I'm talking about the God kind of life. that Zoe life that fills our very being, that enlightens us and causes us to be animated and filled with the power and authority of Christ Jesus Himself on the inside of us. The abundance of life. In Him was life, and the life, that Zoe life, was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Light. So in Him is life, and life is the light of men. Light or darkness is not a created thing. Darkness exists when light is removed. It got dark this evening because the earth rotated and we are now facing away from the sun. Darkness doesn't come and penetrate light. Light penetrates the darkness. Light causes the darkness to flee. When the earth rotates and we begin to face the sun in the morning, it makes the light, the darkness, flee. Darkness cannot overtake light. Light overtakes the darkness. Our eyes need light to see. We're not an animal or a cat or whatever other animals that can see in the night. We need light. Our eyes work by light. When we have light and our eyes are working correctly, we're able to see. This is why a lot of people are blind. I'm not talking about physically blind, spiritually blind. Because they're in darkness. Why are they in darkness? They have an absence of what? Light. And even we, when we are as children of God, when we have an absence of light in our life, we are the one that has caused darkness to ensue, causing chaos and confusion and darkness. And we can call it Jezebel, and we can call it this spirit, and we can call it that spirit, but they don't have any authority over us. It's up to us. God has given us everything we need according to life and godliness. It's what are we going to do with it? And He's given us His Word, Jesus Christ, which is the most powerful. It was in the beginning. It's over and above everything. It was there before any sickness or chaos or poverty or anything else that we're facing. It was there before any devil, any disease, anything that we're facing. He's already given it to us. His Word is all powerful. And His Word is light. Darkness represents what in Scripture? What does darkness represent? Metaphor for? Death, sin, evil. Let's just lump it like this. Everything that's not God. What does light represent in Scripture? Because light's in Scripture all over the place. Represents everything that is God. Right? Holiness and righteousness and purity. So he says in verse 4, in Him was that Zoe life, and that life is the light of men. What does that mean? That Zoe life is the light of men. What does it mean? Think about it while I get a drink. In Him is life. Let's read it again. Verse 4. In Him is life. And the life, that Zoe life, that's in Christ, the Word, is the light of men. Yeah, James? That's okay. You can just call it out. Yeah, no, that's good. That's good. What would you say, Janice? Yep. No, that's good. That's good. Jesus is said to be the light. Jesus is the light of the world. But then Jesus said to us that we are the light of the world. So here in verse 4, it says, in Him the Word. So in Christ, or I can say in the Word, is life, Zoe life. Let's just stop right there for a second. How many of you want to experience Zoe life? Less than half of you. Okay, that's all right. From this scripture, where is Zoe life? Okay, let's go slow. In Him was life. Who's Him? Stay in context of what we're talking about. Who is Him? The Word. So we can say it this way. In the Word is life. This is why the enemy comes against the Word. Because there's life. Jesus and the Word. You can't separate Jesus and the Word. You can't separate God, Jesus, and the Word. He was with God, and He was God. He's not a man that he should lie. So to say the Word or to say Jesus, same thing. Or New American Standard says, in Him. In Him who? Jesus, the Word. So in the Word is life. Not biological life, Zoe, the life of God, who is where? In the Word. That's why the enemy tries so hard to keep you away from the Word. Sent His Word and healed us. What is truth? His Word. Because He said, thy word is truth. Jesus is what? The Word. But He's also the way, the truth, and the what? Life. So the Word is the way, the truth, and the life. The Word, Jesus, He's the Word, is a light unto my feet, my path. In Him was life. We got that part, right? And the life, that Zoe life, is the light of men. So what does that part mean? So what's light again? It's everything that is of God. That's just a simplistic way of saying it, okay? It's holiness, it's purity, it's righteousness, all of that. So it's everything. Light represents everything that is of God. Darkness represents what? Everything that is not. Darkness is not a creation. Darkness is a perversion. You remove light, and darkness ensues. Bring light in, and darkness has to be dispelled. We need light to be able to see. We can't see with our natural eyes without light. Jesus is the light, Scripture says, and Jesus says, we're the light. Is this too confusing? So in Him the Word is Zoe life. And the Zoe life is the light of men. What does it mean? Yes. What was that? And we shine. His light, or light of, let me read this again. In him was life, Zoe life, in the Word, and the Zoe life is the light of men. Let me make it real simple. What you guys said was true and was good. The Word is life and light. Without the Word, we have darkness. We cannot see. Look at the world around us and culture. Look at our nation. Look at government. What's happening right now? Without the Word, they're in darkness. People say the craziest stuff when they're in darkness. People do the craziest stuff when they're in darkness. They trip over stuff. They think one thing is something else because they can't what? See. They don't have light to see. Because what's missing? The Word. The same thing happens even in a Christian and a believer. When we try to live our life without the Word, we, not God, not Jezebel, not any demon, we are choosing to remove light and life from our life. Amen. And we are going to trip, we're going to fall, we're going to walk into stuff, and we're going to say crazy stuff. It's the Word of God that grounds us. We need the Word. I just want to encourage everybody. If you don't already, if maybe you need a reset, a refocus, but to make the Word a priority in your life. You know, there's some days, I don't read a lot of Scripture some days. Some days I'm just focused on one word or a phrase or maybe a sentence that just jumped out at me that God's dealing with me about, and I meditate on that because I'm fellowshipping with the Word, with Christ, because I'm asking Him about it, I'm talking to Him about it. What do you mean by this? What are you saying to me? How does this, you know, apply to my life? How do I walk this out? And we don't just need the Word by itself, just read it. You know, when I was first born again, I would just read. I didn't even know what I was reading, but I was just devouring stuff, and there was a few things here or there I would pick up and get excited about. But the Word really becomes powerless in our life if we're not going to obey it. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey my commandments. Now, you can hear that a couple different ways. You can hear it legalistically, that I got to obey. And it become really a burden and a heavy weight. It could become very legalistic, like we're trying to earn God's favor, or we're trying to earn our way to heaven, or get God to like us, to get God to bless us, to motivate Him somehow to bless us because I'm being obedient. We can't love God until we first receive love from Him. And that's really what it's all about. It's receiving love from Him. And when we receive His love, that enables us to love Him in return. And the Bible says this, faith, which is trusting God, faith works by love. No love, no faith. Paul said, I believe it's in Romans, he said, we've been given the ministry to bring about the obedience of faith. So therefore, the obedience is a result of trusting God. Faith is trusting God. Not the human ways, not my own ways, not what all I've been taught, but what God says in His Word. But why would I trust Him? Because I love Him. Why would I love Him? Because He first loved me. and I received love from Him, and that love motivates me now. I don't have to be obedient to God. He'll even tell you, you don't have to be obedient. But if we don't want to, I would go back to the love question again. Because love is what motivates us. It's not that I have to, it's how I want to. And sometimes we can be obedient. We want to obey God. We may not want to do the exact thing He's saying. Like Jesus didn't want to go to the cross. Father, if there's another way, can we get this done? He was already committed to do what God's will was, period. Sometimes we just commit per thing. You know what I'm saying? Okay, God wants me to do this. Well, wait a minute. Now I got to recommit here. Do I really want to do it? No, it's an all-in bond servant. I'm choosing it all in from the get-go. I am here for you. I'm here to serve you because you've loved me. You bought me with a price, and I'm loving you back in return. I'm here to do whatever you've asked me to do, called me to do, command me to do, period. Now, Lord, can we do it another way over here? Did you notice when Jesus prayed that to the Father, that Father never answered Him? Because His silence is an answer. So many times God has already told us what He wants us to do. And we're trying to find other ways to do it, and God's silent. Because He's already told, you already know He told, you're trying to wiggle out of it. And His silence is the answer. Obedience is a natural result of trusting the Lord, which is a natural result of love. Love. And a loving relationship with Daddy, because He first loved us, because He bought us with a price, and we love Him in return. We don't always have to understand it, but we just trust Him. We know that He's got our best interests at heart because I'm His son. I'm His child. I mean, just think of this. That even when I was a slimy scoundrel, He came and died for me. Why do we think, even after all of that, and we become His child, that He all of a sudden wants to disown us? Not there for us. Never changes. He might not be answering the way we want. But anyway, I digress. The Word. The Word. Challenge yourself. Get into the Word. Spend time with Him. He is the Word. Renew your mind. That's a command from Scripture. To renew the way we are thinking, because we have faulty thinking. But how do we do it? On the Word. Once we hear the Word, once we know the Word, what do? We respond to the Word and we just do it. We do what He's saying to do. Grace comes in and enables us to do whatever He's called us to do. It doesn't come, you know, like we're sitting here, all of a sudden I feel energized now and I'm going to do it. No, when I step out in faith, I'm trusting you. See, faith is not being loud and bold and proclaiming the Word. That's not faith. Faith is responding to the Word. Faith is action. It's doing the Word. You can be as quiet, same way with casting out demons. You can be as quiet or as loud. They're not deaf. They're not hard of hearing. Doesn't make it any more authoritative. The same way with faith. Just because we're loud and we're bold and we're brash and we're posting all this stuff on Facebook and we're just getting out there, we got faith. You don't have any faith unless you're doing it. Unless we're responding. That's what faith is. Faith is now. So it's what am I doing now? Faith is. Hope is for the future. That's not faith. We turn this whole around. Sorry, I'm getting off into this. But we actually make faith hope. And we'll say, I'm just standing in faith. Faith is moving. It's action. What are you doing? What did Abraham do? He had no child. He just started calling. He said, God told him to change his name. Hey, I'm a father of a multitude. He also had to have relations with his wife so they can get pregnant. Faith causes us to do something, respond, not just pray it, not just say it, but do it. Faith is now. Hope is for the future. When God speaks and he says, I'm going to give you a child, Abraham, that child is sometime in the future, at least 9 months. But that's hope. It's out there. My eyes are on it. That's what you said, God. I know that you said that. So what am I going to do in the meantime? I'm not just going to stand and just quote Scripture. That there's nothing wrong necessarily wrong with that, but that's not faith. Faith is doing what God has called us to do. He changed his name. He had relations with his wife. There's many times God will call us, say something out here, but the training is back here. Keep doing what he's called you to do. Keep being faithful in the little things. Faithful right here. That will get you out there. Amen. I'm done. Lord, yeah. Amen. Yeah, good. Yep. Yeah. We cannot neglect the Word. We need the Word. We need the written and the spoken, the Logos of God. Yeah, Bill. See, when you are caught in darkness, you need an encounter with light, and that's by that. Yeah, the Holy Spirit needs to awaken and open. Pew. When Paul was in darkness, a great light came, bam, knocked him down. Blinded him, so bright. Got his attention. What are you all still doing here? Go home. Love you guys. The Word. Amen. Word up.